All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we're halfway through the letter now. We're talking about living in the last days, and Paul has given us a lot of things as a foundation for us to consider about what we should be focusing on, where our minds need to be, what we should be pursuing. Well, he comes to the third chapter, and he's going to, for nine verses, because we're going to focus on verses 1 to 9, he's going to talk about the times we live in. And that it is so important for you and I to understand the times. And the reason why you need to understand the times is you are vulnerable. You are easily influenced. You are easily susceptible to someone distracting you from what you should be focusing on, which is the Lord. There are cultural forces at work. There are societal forces at work. There are spiritual forces at work. Satan and his minions, his demons, his fallen angels who are with him, all of them trying to rob you of the central message of the gospel, your acceptance with God. And so he's going to talk about the times we live in. And right now, I guess that's really a good conversation, because sometimes we get to the place where, and I guess I'm speaking from the perspective of, I'm in my late 50s now. Sometimes we get to the perspective where we think we have an understanding of what normal should be. Normal should be in our life. Do you know what I'm saying? And then when we see things crumbling around us in our society and our cultural changes that are happening real quick, which, by the way, everybody is saying that. Everybody, I don't know if you're aware of it, that cultural changes have really amplified in the last 10 years. A lot of it has to do with the onset of social media and so forth. Not that that's the reason why. It just is amplifying it. And so we think the world is turning upside down and is really getting bad. And so now you hear Christians, we're living in the last days. I'm going to tell you, folks, we've always been living in the last days. And things have not been good forever. And they've been heading in a wrong direction. And Paul's going to help you to understand that today. And what needs to happen for us is we need to be aware, because you actually are the one who will suffer. What do you mean? Suffer because something goes wrong and I don't think it's going to go wrong and I'll lose my whatever I have. No, I'm talking about where you are spiritually. Because we're vulnerable. So let's look at these verses together. So if you have your Bibles, read with me, or you can look up on the screen. Let's focus on what he's saying here. Now, remember, he's writing this about AD 62, okay? So just pretty much over 2,000 years ago, right? Close to 2,000 years, and what he's describing is not very much different from today, although culture has changed, a lot of things have changed, but he's referring it to the last days. Okay, what we live in. Look at what he says here, verse 1. But understand this. That's a pretty good way to start it out. Pay attention. Understand this. That the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as it was that of those two men. All right, now here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to really divide this up into three sections. We're going to talk about the times. And by the way, when I was reading that, that doesn't describe the day, does it? When I went through that whole list, boy, that sounds like a terrible place, George. I'm glad we're not like that. No, it's like where we are right now, right? But there's nothing's changed. And so we're going to talk about the times. We're going to talk about the vulnerable. And I'll explain to you what he means by the vulnerable here and why he focuses on one group. And I actually think it would be more than one group, okay? And then we're going to talk about the deceptive, okay? So let's talk about the times. First thing, notice what he says there. We're going to focus on verse 1. But understand this, okay? So you got to think this through. You need to understand this. That the last days there will come times of difficulty. Times of difficulty. So one way of translating it would be terrible times. In the last day there will be terrible times. So here's what I want you to see. The last days will be marked by extremely difficult times. That's the mark. You know, I always find it fascinating that humanity always wants to look for the good in things. And so we somehow think that we're going to make things better. That somehow we're going to, you know, like I love Star Trek, okay? From Captain Kirk to the latest series, I love to watch Star Trek. Now there's this presumption in Star Trek is that somehow we'll always get better. Now, if that were true, then there wouldn't be a Star Trek series, right? Because with a Star Trek series, there's always a problem, right? Sometimes it's internal, sometimes it's external. There's always problems. So problems are there, but somehow we've got this mindset that somehow we're going to work it out. We're going to find the answer. Everything's going to be great. Well, the problem is that is not true. If anything, the Bible's telling you that as we progress in the last days, things are going to get more difficult and more terrible. Might there be times where we have peace? Yeah, but even there, in the peaceful times, it was still terrible. It was still difficult. See, I guess I'm old enough now and have been a believer long enough now that I can remember that the things that I'm hearing right now, people say, oh, we're at the end and this is a terrible time we live in. Folks, that same line, if you listen to the preaching from 1984 and 1985 and 1987, they were saying the same things. Did you understand that things are getting terrible? So what are you saying, George? They're not getting terrible? No, I'm trying to tell you they've always been bad. And it will gradually get worse until who comes back? Jesus, right? So he wants you to understand that in the last days, the times are going to be difficult. It's going to be a struggle. Things are not going to go your way. Do you understand? Things are not going to go your way. And a lot of it, can I be honest with you? Let's just be realistic here. A lot of it is out of our control. And that's really hard for us to accept because we're control freaks. We want to be in control. We don't want things to happen that happen unexpectedly, right? But have we not been around long enough to realize that stuff happens sometimes that's completely out of our control and we never had control? So this is the point he's making, that the last days are going to be marked by extremely difficult times. Now, here's what he's going to say. He's going to spend three verses, verses 2-4, talking about the way people are. So let's look at the list here, okay? Here's what he says. For people will be lovers of self. What does that mean? They're just loving themselves, period. They're focused on self. Lovers of self, lovers of money. Now, we know what that is, right? Lovers of money. And then he goes on and expresses what those two points are. Proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now here's the point I want you to see. Here's what I want you to understand about the times. Okay? Society will be marked by a love for self and a love for stuff. Society will be marked by a love for self and a love for self. All of these things I just listed here can be basically categorized in the first two that he gave us. A love for self and a love for money. Right? Because notice where it says unappeasable. What does that mean? That means you never get to the place where anything's good enough or anything's enough. Nothing appeases you. You got to keep having more, 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 more. Have you noticed that? That we can get to that place? This is our society that we live in. This is where people are at. I mean, if you take a moment, okay? So, like, when we leave here and you have your dinner and you're sitting in your chair or whatever and you're dozing off, wanting that afternoon nap or something, unless you're busy, just pause for a moment and think through your week. Think about the people that you interact with. Think about the stuff you see on TV and the news. Think about people in the community. What is driving them? I'm going to tell you, it's the first two. Love for self, what they want, and a love for money. It's a love for self and a love for stuff. Period. And have you noticed that even when they get something, it's not enough? You should notice that in your own life, right? When you achieve something, is it enough? No, because we're unappeasable. This is the times that we live in. Now, there's a third thing he says here, and I think it's interesting. He says it then, it's true even today. Look with me at verse 5. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Having the appearance of godliness. So there is a sense in which people have this appearance of spirituality, but they don't really understand the power of the spirituality. And when we talk about the power of the spirituality, that's the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So they have this facade, this look of being, quote, a believer, but they don't really reflect the power of that in their lives. And in fact, so here's my point. Some will reflect a spirituality that seems real, but is actually powerless. You say, is that possible, George? Yeah. Yeah, just a few years later in the book of Revelation, last church of the seven churches, the church at Laodicea, they thought they had everything. It was a pretty wealthy church. They thought they were doing good spiritually, and he said, You think you're doing great, but you're actually blind to your nakedness, to the depravity of your own soul. So we're talking about a time where it's going to be difficult. We got people that are focused on stuff and themselves, and then we're going to have people who reflect some sort of spirituality, but they don't really reflect that spirituality because their lives are powerless. God's Spirit isn't working in their lives. So here's what he tells us to do with it. Look at the last part of verse 5. This is what he tells us. I hate to say it, we don't practice it though. Here it is. Avoid such people. Avoid such people. What are we talking about? Here's the point. Avoid such people. What is he saying? Here's my point. Don't get involved with those whose lives reflect the times. Don't get involved with them. What are you telling me to go cloister away, live rough out in the woods somewhere by myself and never interact with people, George? Is that what you're talking about? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Not telling you to separate yourself from unbelievers. He's just saying, for your own sake, don't get involved with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because what you need to be concerned for is your own spiritual life. I think you understand it. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about, okay? So, do you know somebody who struggles with an addiction? Probably all of us do, right? In the world that we live in. Either alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever. Go on. There's the list of addictions are big. So what do we tell those people when they're going through recovery? Anybody know what we tell them? They have to change their what? They heard some murmurs. What? Friends, yeah. Now, why do we say that? Why do we say change your friends? Yeah, because their friends are an influence. And if they're trying to get out of something, the friends are the key to them staying in it, right? This is the same thing. If you're wanting to grow in your relationship with the Lord, if you're wanting to head in the direction that he wants to head in, if you're wanting to be the person he wants you to be, the Spirit is going to be telling you things to do. The Spirit is going to be guiding you and leading you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you engage with people who are involved in the times, who are self-absorbed, focused on self, and self-absorbed on focusing on money and stuff, if you're dealing with people who are having a, quote, a spirituality that is actually powerless in their life, those people will influence you in a negative way to your detriment. Now, that's not saying that you can't interact with them and say hi to them, but the point is you don't get involved with them. You avoid them. Why? Because you get too involved, you will be the one who's influenced. You will be the one who's hurt. See, he just spent two chapters talking about all the things that we need to be focusing on, all the things that we need to be doing because of the great truths of who we are and what we are in Christ. Here he comes to chapter 3, and he's telling you, understand the times you live in. You know, I think it's interesting. I grew up on military bases because I'm an Army brat, but a lot of my years were when my dad bought a house outside of Fort Jackson in Columbia, South Carolina, and there were things that we did I grew up with, like locking the doors on cars, locking the door on the house. Because I remember one year my mom's blazer got stolen out of our front yard. Stolen out of our front yard. Somebody took it for a joyride. They found it at the next movie theater, okay? So when you grow up like that, you know there's certain things you need to do. Otherwise, somebody's going to rob you, right? So we moved to Pennsylvania when we got married, and they don't lock any of the doors. You leave the keys in the car. Now, these days we're learning around here you don't do that either, right? Okay? But that was a... Think about 20, 30 years ago, that was the mentality, right? We don't need to worry about that kind of stuff, right? But the point is, you learn to adjust when you realize where you live and the evils around you and the impact that it will have on you, right? He's saying the same thing, except he's not talking about your stuff that you have in your house or your car. He's talking about your life. He's talking about where you are spiritually in your relationship with the Lord. And is that not more important than anything? So are you not going to do what it takes to protect that? And part of protecting that is what? Understanding the times and avoiding the people who will hinder you, hurt you. And they're out for people, because here he's going to focus on some vulnerable people in his time. Now, it seems like he's picking on women here, but I need to explain to you why he mentions women here. Because if he was talking today, he might say just men and women. Look with me at verse 6 and 7. Here's what he says. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. Okay, so let's transport ourselves back 2,000 years to the culture of the time in which Paul is saying there in Asia Minor, into that Greek culture. There was no women working in the workforce type thing that we have today, right? In fact, that's even true in our own country up until what, 60 years or so ago, 75? Well, back to World War II. Before that, most women were what, at home, right? Who was the breadwinner in the home? The husband, right? That was true in their culture as well. And what he's saying is, so you have women at home, and they're vulnerable to these false teachers who were coming along. You had people who were coming along trying to deceive them. And I'm going to explain to you why they were vulnerable. He gives us some key reasons why they're vulnerable. Here it is. First of all, in verse 6, the vulnerable are marked by a guilty conscience and unchecked desires. Now, here's what marked them as being vulnerable. And this can be true for a dude or a gal. A dude or a gal. So don't just say this is a woman problem. This is a human problem. What makes us vulnerable to false teachers and people who will come and rob us of our relationship with Jesus, first of all, is guilt. Not knowing what we can do with our guilt. I think that's real for us, right? Because guilt's the thing we all struggle with, right? A guilty conscience. What would we be having a guilty conscience about? Our sin. Past mistakes, past failures, past wrong decisions, past actions. And we live with those things in our mind, and people will struggle continually with them. And I see this, it's even true to this day. I see people in the church and they'll never forgive themselves for something they did wrong. I just can't bring myself to forgive myself about that. Did you understand what they're doing is by saying that kind of thing is that they forget that it's not you forgiving yourself. Forgiveness comes from God. And understanding that he's the one who takes what from you? Your sin and your iniquity, because he paid it all on the cross. But these folks, what was making them vulnerable is they're trying to deal with this guilty conscience. So somebody coming along and telling them something, and I've met them to people who couldn't deal with the guilt, so they had somebody come along and tell them that they needed to get involved in some sort of legalism of some type. Like, if they do the right things, then that will make them okay with God. No, what makes you okay with God is what Jesus did for you on the cross, folks, and your faith in him. Not whether or not you keep showing up at church, which, by the way, we want you to keep showing up at church, but that's not going to make you right with God. What makes you right with God is what Jesus did for you. So this is the vulnerable are marked by what? Guilty consciences, but not just that, unchecked desires. That's where you just, whatever you want, you just take. You, whatever you want to have, you can have. Well, how's that make me vulnerable to a false teacher? Well, if that's where you want to be, then somebody coming along and saying to you, well, it's okay for you to feel that way and it's okay for you to indulge that, you're going to listen to them. Here's the other thing about the vulnerable. I want you to see here. Verse 7, they are eager to learn even as they cannot understand the truth. They're eager to learn. They show up to all the Bible studies. But man, listen to me. When it comes to truly grasping what the truth is and applying the truth to their life, it just kind of goes over their head. They're not able to understand. They're not able to discern. They're not growing. And this makes them susceptible. So we've got a dual thing going on here. We've got the times, which he talks about in verses 1 to 5 there, and then we've got this whole issue of the vulnerability of people in verses 6 through 7, and now he's going to kind of help us to understand, because he's going to talk about those who are deceptive in verses 8 through 9, 7 through 9, 8 through 9. Look with me. He's going to use something. You're probably wondering, who are these two guys he's mentioning here? Look with me at verse 8. He says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. Now, who are they, George? Because I read through Exodus. In fact, I read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Who are these two guys? I've never seen them before. Well, in Jewish thinking and understanding and writing outside of the Bible, these two dudes are identified as the two magicians in Pharaoh's court. You remember the magicians in Pharaoh's court? Remember when he came and went there and said, let my people go, and you know, the Lord God told me, and of course they threw down their snakes, and Moses threw down his rod, and what? It became a snake and ate theirs. The two magicians were, according to Jewish thinking, these were their names. And they were opposed to God. All right, so here's what I want you to see. All right, look with me. So these men also opposed the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all as it was that of those two men. Now, here's two things I want you to see about the deceptive. And again, I need you to realize this. They opposed the truth because their thinking and their faith is corrupted. Now, why is he bringing these two guys up? Again, because you remember now, he's told you in verse 1, understand, consider this, understand the times. And so, okay, so we're realizing the times we're in, we need to avoid that. We realize the vulnerability. Now we're talking about deceptive people. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Even in a place like this, you're vulnerable to false teaching. How's that possible, George? We try to keep track of that. No, no. All it takes is you getting influenced by the wrong person whose faith and thinking has been corrupted. And they will influence you in a wrong way. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to be aware of that. That's why, can I be honest with you? Why do you think all of the New Testament scriptures talk about testing what is said, trying what is said, going through what is being taught? That includes me. Do you know what I mean? Well, you won't go off the deep. George, you've been here a long time. But I might go off the deep end tomorrow. And history is filled with, quote, good pastors that went wrong. good pastors who start out in a Christian denomination and then proclaim themselves to be God, leading people to go to a South American country and kill themselves by drinking Kool-Aid. That was Jim Jones back in 1978. He started out as a Nazarene preacher. A Wesleyan denomination. So how do you go from being a good preacher to being God and everybody believes what you're saying? You don't go there overnight. You go there what? Subtly, because somewhere that guy's faith and his values and his thinking got corrupted. Do you understand? Understand the times you live in. Understand the times. And it's easy to be corrupted today, right? Recognize that. Here's the second thing I want you to see there. But here's the thing Paul points out in verse 9. Their deception will not affect the truth because their folly is evident to all. Now, how's that evident? Well, if you know God's word, you should know falsehood when it pops up, right? Now, but this is the problem, isn't it? Most people don't read their Bibles. Most people just go by what the pastor said on Sunday morning. Most people don't read it for themselves or determine for themselves what it says. So all it needs is a good pastor to come up and tell them something, and they'll go by that. One of the most disheartening things for me is when I interact with people and they say to me, well, you know, my pastor said this. Okay, that's great. I'm glad you had a godly pastor who influenced you. But it would be better for you to say, this is what God's word says. Do you understand? Because you read it yourself and you understood. Do you know what I mean? That would be so much better. Because that's the only way we're going to serve. Because it will be evident to all. You know, they say, it's interesting, they say for those who work in a bank that they don't study counterfeit bills. They work with good bills. And you work with good bills enough that when a false one shows up, you know there's something wrong with it, right? Now, I'm sure they're getting more sneaky with what they're doing, but that's what they said years ago. Do you understand? The point is, you've got to know the truth so that when falsehood shows up, you can say, that's wrong. Okay, you say, okay, George, where are we going with this? What's the whole purpose that Paul's trying to get to here? Well, he wants you to understand the times you live in. And by understanding the times you live in, so what do we understand? We understand that that society and so forth is not going to get better. Things are going to be terrible, but people are going to be focused on self-love, focused on getting stuff. We're going to have a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. Don't get involved with that because that's a detriment to you. Then we got people who are vulnerable. They're vulnerable because what? They've got guilt that they can't deal with. They're not controlling their passions and their desires. They think they're going after truth, but they don't really understand it. And then he just flat out tells us there are people who are corrupted in their thinking and their faith who are going to influence you in a wrong way. Now, why is he telling us all that? Because he's trying to get us to understand that you need to start paying attention. You need to understand. Because if you don't, you might be the next person that's hindered by any of this. You might be the next person whose faith is robbed. You might be the person who is defeated and can't find victory in his life anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to be proactive, understand the times you're in, and what? Lock the doors on your cars. Lock your house. Why? Because somebody might break in and steal from you. Except take it one step further. Think about your life. Guard yourselves because somebody may rob you of your faith and your belief and your security and hope in Jesus. That's what he's talking about, because next week when we get a little bit further, when we get to verse 10, he's going to tell us what we need to be doing, okay? What we need to be doing in light of the times that we're in, okay? So start being aware of what is happening to your faith because of the outside influences. Let me pray for you.